Tango Tango Papa 1947, February 15, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from, I don't know, it's some town, it's probably about 30 miles north of Houston, kind of give or take, depending on where you think it begins at. This is definitely suburban Houston anyway. So the load that I have doesn't deliver until tomorrow being, today would have been Monday, correct? I think that's correct. Yep, today's Monday, so tomorrow is Tuesday. So the load that I have delivers tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon at 5:30 p.m. at a grocery warehouse. I could have driven on down to Houston. There's a truck stop that's pretty close to that grocery warehouse, but it's on the kind of on the east side of Houston, and there's a couple of truck stops there. And there, if I would have got there this afternoon, I would have been able to easily find a place to park, I think, but. Problem with those truck stops is that they're kind of infested with panhandlers, and I really didn't want to kind of deal with that, so it was easier just to stop here. I'm at a Flying J truck stop, and now this doesn't have that big of a parking lot, so at night it really does end up filling up. But I got here, it was about 3:30 this afternoon, and there were still plenty of parking spots. So I just went ahead and stopped here, and as I say, I'm only about 36 miles from where the load delivers. And the place where the load delivers is extraordinarily cramped, very cramped place. It's a grocery warehouse. They don't have much room for whatever reason. And so they don't want you there more than about 5 minutes before the appointment time. And then once you get there, it's been my experience, they make you park and kind of wait a while. And even that part is a nightmare because the place is so cramped that you can have a hard time just finding a place to park temporarily while you're waiting for them to tell you to come in back into the door. So it's really... kind of a cramped place. So I'll leave here tomorrow afternoon and get there right at the appointment time, and then it's going to take them probably 2 or 3 hours to unload the load, and then see what happens after that, see what kind of a load that they come up with after that. So the reason I'm doing another podcast, well, I had the time, and then plus I got some email, and I also received an audio file from Joel, and Joel sent an audio file through Voxer, so I'm going to be playing that. I haven't actually listened to it yet, so we're going to be listening to it together. And so, I didn't realize I was going to do this, but I'm going to read, I got an email from Ian, and so I'm going to read Ian's email, but that means I've got to get into my email program. So let me, there, see if that'll work. Yep, okay. Let's see here. It's loading. And I need to find it. All right. Okay, where is it at? Oh, here we go. So we got this email from Ian. He says, I had the Stitcher app as a backup to my Apple Podcast app. It does seem to be out of action for a very long time. And I think he subsequently sent me an email saying that people seem to think that it's back up, and I'll look here in a minute. We'll see in the next few days if it comes back. What can Pocket Casts do that the Apple app can't do? I might get it as a backup. I watched one YouTube about it, and the review was very favorable. Your description of the new Amazon Echo Fox unit sounds pretty appealing. Small footprint, standalone unit sitting on a table. Totally portable, no wires, no voice activated, but still could be useful. Price point might be less than the present unit. I'll keep my eye on this. Glad your bunk heater is working by simply rebooting it. You need it on a morning like this here. Now, Ian is in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, and he says here it's minus 24 degrees centigrade. So, let's see. So, minus 24 degrees centigrade. So, let me go back. Let me go into Google. Let me close that. And we'll go back. Let's see. We'll go into Google. All right. So, we see, if we say minus 24. Whoops. Try that again. 24 C into Fahrenheit. Let's see what that translates. So that's minus 11 Fahrenheit. So that minus 11 is pretty cold. And then if you throw in some wind, then it's extremely cold. The wind is the real killer when it comes to any cool temperatures. The wind is really what makes things miserable. Because if you can have, it's interesting, you can have... like when I was in Wisconsin the other day, it was close to zero, or, you know, it was pretty cold. It was in the single digits, and then it got to like minus two or something overnight. But there was no wind, and it was pretty dry. It was very dry there. So there wasn't any, there was very, very little humidity. And so, of course, that means lots of static electricity, potential for static electricity. But being that it was so dry, the air was so dry, mixed with the no wind, and it didn't seem to be that cold. It was cold, obviously, but it didn't seem that bad. Now, if you throw, if you put in humidity, you start mixing in humidity, cold temperatures, humidity plus wind, it can rapidly become very unpleasant. To say the least. So, now here, when I got to this truck stop this afternoon, I got here about 3:30. Truck thermometer said it was 76 degrees, and I'd been running the air conditioner a little bit. And actually, I've got the bunk air conditioner on right now. I don't think it's running a whole lot. I think now the temperature's probably. Maybe, I don't know, I'm guessing it's probably about 60 degrees or so. I don't know what the low, maybe it's like 60 degrees or 59 degrees or something like that. So it's pretty nice here. But this is just like I say, it's about 30, 35 miles or something north of Houston. And so Houston can have some very nice days, and then sometimes they can be kind of cold and humid, and very seldom does it actually freeze, but it can. And there have been times where they've actually received ice, but typically those are the exceptions, and typically they receive fairly decent weather most of the time, except in the summer, of course. Then you get into the extreme heat and the humidity, and you better have an air conditioner. So there's always some kind of disadvantage here or there. So anyway, let's go ahead and start listening to Joel's comment. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Getting caught up with your podcast. Well, not only when you've issued since my last message, I think. Anywho. Sorry about hearing you slip and fall. I hate when that happens. It's happened to me. It's going to happen again. It's nothing to be. It's one of those things where I'm more embarrassed than anything. I actually had two cases where I fell in the last, about a month, actually. Back in January, I had traveled to St. Louis for work, and I flew on the airplane, and luckily I made it, you know, through my whole trip, and I was on my way home, and I had gotten, basically I was in a situation where I had to wait for my ride to get there, so I wasn't going to wait outside in the cold. I decided I'd go upstairs and grab a drink or something from the baggage claim. So we rode up the escalator, and I had my baggage with me. One of them was a rolling garment bag. And then, of course, I had my laptop bag, couple other bags. I had like a camera bag and a bag for my CPAP machine. And so as I was coming back down after I'd finished, I sat down in a like little couch. I headed back down to where the pickups were. And my garment bag tipped over as I got towards the end. And I bent over to pick it up at the end of the escalator, and bam, down I went. So finally, I'm sitting here. I'm struggling trying to get up. And then eventually somebody saw that, then I was able to get up after they stopped the escalator. There are other people were asking me, hey, do I need medical, team check me out? I'm like, no. But the only thing that really happened was I kind of had my elbow was tore up. So I'm like, but I did feel that stiffness that you were talking about. Then Friday, I was on the way out. It was actually snowing here in Columbus, and I didn't really slip on ice. But Friday night, I have a bowling league, finished league, and was going out to walk out the one door. There's at the bowling alley that I'm at. Usually most bowling alleys have an entrance at either end of the lanes. And then they have the main entrance, which is kind of in the middle. It's going to depend on the center where that's at. But I went out towards the end because that's kind of where my car was parked. And at the end, there was a actual bump. And I don't know why it was there, but it was almost like they had a speed bump almost right in front of their door. Well, my toe caught on the top of that, and bam, I went down hard. And all weekend, I kind of felt it in my leg, in my knee, a little bit in my arm, but not. It wasn't that bad. But I know exactly what you're talking about. and I hate it when that happens. Luckily, no one saw me do that time, so I just got up and went on home. But it was one of those things that my pride was hurt more than I was. But one thing that I started doing, and I started doing right after that, because I thought, one, it would help me as that part of my body was healing from that little spill. I started taking I want to start doing this all the time now, starting taking glucosamine and chondroitin, because a lot of times, especially I find it when the weather changes, I'm not old. You know, I'm going to be 45 here, but certain parts of my body, and of course, me being overweight doesn't really help either. But certain parts of my body are starting to ache more. So, I've been taking that for a few days, and I want to say I think I've healed faster from that last fall, and I also think it's kind of helping my joints a little bit. So, hey, that's one of those things. I don't think they know that our bodies need them, vitamins. They don't know how much they need. They don't really know about the other things too, like taking supplements, because your body makes glucose. I mean, your body has chondroitin in it as well, in the joints. But those levels start to go down as we age, and does it really help? Hurt? So far, I think that seems to be helping with joint pain. It's not. I don't have it, real bad. The thing I always remembered when I was in high school, when my grandpa was in his latter part of his life, was he always complained about or rheumatoid arthritis. He actually took something called I don't know, you might remember it. I know I do, something called DMSO, and rub it on his joints. And it winds up that stuff actually really does damage to your skin. So I probably would never do that. But I know that it didn't matter to my grandpa whether it screwed his skin up on his knees and his elbows or not. He rubbed it on himself anyway. So, but it's just, as far as medical technology has come, we just don't know everything that we need to know about it yet.
Thank you, Joel, for the comment. Yeah, I hate it when I fall. You know, of course, the first thing you do is, if you fall, what do? You look and see, you get up and you look and see if somebody saw you fall for whatever reason. I don't know why that is, but... that's usually the first thing that happens. So the problem, as an adult, and it could be as a kid, usually you fall when you're a kid and maybe you scrape yourself up or whatever. But as a kid, I guess you're a little bit more rubbery or whatever, and a little bit more durable, and plus you don't weigh as much, you're not as big. But as an adult, when you fall, it can end up being, typically it can end up being possibly more serious. When my mom was, she would have been 57. That's been, she's 91 now, so... 57, so 67, 77, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91. So 34 years ago, when she was 57, she fell on, she was at work and there was some kind of an unmarked loading zone. And I guess there was a, I never did see the place, but there was a difference in the surface of the concrete. There was a drop off or something. But in any case, she fell, and she broke her hip. She broke her. It would be her on her right side. She broke her hip, but not only did she break it, but it pulled. She fell so hard that it pulled the. It broke the ball off. The ball joint, you have this big ball joint in your hip. It broke it off and pulled it out of the socket. Pulled it out of the socket and broke the bone. And, of course, they had to operate, and they put, metal in there and kind of pinned it all back together. And then I'll be darned if she didn't, a couple of years later, her body started rejecting the metal, and they had to, at that point, they had to remove the metal. And then a few years later, that leg was she was able to walk okay, but that leg would sometimes sort of give out on her. And she was out kind of walking in the back, and there was a rock she stepped on, and the rock kind of somehow, I don't know what happened, but she lost her footing, and she ended up falling and hitting her knee, same leg, right leg, on a rock, and it kind of shattered her kneecap, and so they had to operate and kind of put that together. And she would have been probably about my age at that point, 60 or 61. Had to put it back together with metal, you know, kind of pin it back together. And then it healed, and then I'll be darned if a couple of years later they didn't have to operate again and remove the metal, because her body was beginning to reject the metal. So, and then most recently, this would have been, I don't know, a few years ago, she had to have a hip replacement because that, in the same hip, so they actually did a hip replacement. And so she's, you know, that works pretty good. She's able to get around pretty well. But the cement is beginning to kind of come apart a little bit, according to her doctor. And, you know, so she is able to get around well enough, and she's not really trying to stress it very much. So, worst case scenario, they'd have to go back in and operate again and kind of redo that, you know, sort of re-cement the thing in place. And so as long as it sort of stays put, then she's fine. So she's doing whatever she can to avoid overstressing that wherever the metal goes from the hip replacement goes down into the bone. And that's where it's kind of coming up, you know, potentially sort of, there's cracks in the cement or something. So, but that all stems from that original fall. And it was summer, you know, it wasn't winter or anything, it was summertime, but she ended up walking off the edge of a concrete thing. Not realizing that it was there, and ended up falling really hard. And I don't know exactly the details. I never did actually see the place where she fell. She worked at the VA hospital in Fayetteville, Arkansas at the time. So after she was off work for some period of time, and then she ended up going back to work. And then before that she was an LPN, a licensed practical nurse. And then so after that, she was on, you know, more of a clerical type duty type thing. And she did that for, I don't know, a couple of years. And then finally she retired out of that. I think she was about 64 or 65 when she retired out of that. So, and then she's been retired ever since. So, falls can be very serious. You want to avoid them if at all possible. Of course, you can't necessarily. You know, when I was working at that eye clinic, there was this one of the patients. And it was, you know, and this guy was pretty heavy set, probably looked like he was in his 80s. He looked pretty old. And he was, I think the guy even had a cane. But I remember hearing, I was downstairs, I had a little office upstairs where I tried to spend most of my time, but I was downstairs doing something or other with the computers, and because I was the computer network administrator. But I heard this big loud thwack, you know, like a big thud, and this patient had, I don't know how he did it, but in any case, he obviously fell, and he sort of fell into the stairwell leading up, if you know, so it was you know, it was like a stairway up, you know, going to my, you know, where my little cubicle was upstairs. And so he sort of fell. He just happened to be walking past that, and he fell into the kind of that doorway. And he was able, they were able to get him up, and apparently he didn't break anything. And you know, but I don't know why, what happened with him, why he fell. Maybe he got dizzy or something, but it certainly made a loud noise when he fell. It was really loud. Falling can be very dangerous. I was talking to a friend on the phone day before yesterday, and he said that he had been, he was in a motel, and they had a tile floor in the bathroom, and he, I guess he had been, I guess it was after he took a bath or something, and the floor, there was water on the floor, and his foot slipped, and he ended up falling. Now, falling in a bathroom can be dangerous, if you, especially if you've got, you know, because you have the hard surfaces, and you got to be especially careful with bathtubs. Bathtubs are dangerous. Kind of getting in and out of a bathtub is a really dangerous thing. You're far better off if you have a, like I have at home, I've got bathtubs, but then I've, I never use the, very rarely do I actually use the bathtubs because I have a shower stall, and I always, always use that shower stall. Shower stall, you don't have to, you know, you just walk right into it and walk right out of it when you're done. A bathtub, you end up with this weird thing where you're, once you're in it, the thing can be slippery, even if, you know, and sometimes in motels they'll put the little adhesive things that sort of give you more of a grip, more friction than just the plain bathtub surface, which is good. But then whenever you climb, whenever you get out of a bathtub, you kind of have to do this little weird balancing act because you're, the bathtub, the bottom of the bathtub is always maybe a few inches higher than the actual floor is. Excuse me. And so whenever you get out of a bathtub, you're stepping down, even if it's just 3 or 4 inches, you're stepping down from being up higher in the bathtub. And then if the, you know, tile floor, the tile floor is slick, off you can go. Now, what I do in a motel, of course, I always try to be careful. If I'm in a motel and I have to take a shower, and, you know, inevitably they don't have shower stalls. They just have a shower placed over the bathtub with a shower curtain. What I always do is put down a one of the towels on the floor. And then that way, when you step out of the tub onto the floor, then you're stepping on a towel, and the towel is not going to go sliding in the same way, especially if it's a little wet. It's not going to go sliding. There's a lot more friction there with the towel than there is with your foot on a kind of a, your wet foot on a bare tile floor, you know. So it's, but you just have to be really careful. And like I say, you can try to be vigilant. You know, and then, but sooner or later, something's going to, you know, something's going to happen. You lose your balance a little bit, or something falls over, or whatever it is, like you were describing. And I think, you know, kind of what threw me the other day when I was in Omaha, when I fell, I think what caused me to fall is the stupidest thing in the world. Because at this place I was at, they want you to wear one of these stupid yellow vests. Now, I have this stupid yellow vest that doesn't fit right. You know, it's just a really crappy vest that I've had for several years, and it's you know, it's just, it does not fit right. And so the thing always keeps trying to fall off because it's just not constructed properly. And so the thing was falling off. You know, I had my big head, because it was cold there and the wind was blowing, I had my heavy coat on. And then I put the vest over the coat. And then the vest was falling down. Well, what I should have done was just continued to just, you know, get off of the ice, get off of the snow, get off of the slick surface. But that fell down, and that was just enough to kind of throw me off balance. Because I, you know, not because the vest was, you know, causing me to lose my balance, but because I looked at it and I started to, you know, I reacted and I wanted to pull the vest back up, and that's when I fell. That's when both feet went right out from under me. Now, I was, like I say, I was fortunate. I was stoved up for a few days. At this point, I'm pretty close to being back to normal. Not quite, but it's gotten better every day. Day after day, it's better. And so I'm almost, at this point, back to normal. And very careful, you know, climbing in and out of the truck. Very careful about that, because that is, there are a lot of drivers that end up falling. Of course, I fell out of the truck. When was it? Talked about it on the last podcast a couple of years ago. Fell out, and you know, I was laying right on my side. Fortunately, didn't break anything, but you know, that was, it fell on concrete. You know, so that was. I don't know. It was like a comedy of errors, because once I started missing. You know, I kept grabbing for things, and I, you know, ended up just falling right down anyway. So I, you know, I may have broken my fall a little bit, you know, as opposed to just a straight fall. So, you know, even though it didn't, you know, me grabbing for things didn't stop the fall from happening, but it probably prevented it from being as bad as it could have been. So, let's see, there was one time, I don't know, a number of years ago, I was down here in Texas, so I stopped at some truck stop along Interstate 35, and so I was walking from the truck into the truck stop, and I had to cross their, you know, kind of go across the area where their diesel fuel islands were, and, I'll be darned, I was kind of walking along, and all of a sudden my foot slipped, because there was, I guess, a little diesel spill on the concrete. And this was back in the days before they removed the sulfur. You know, you have the ultra-low sulfur diesel, which kind of, you know, that takes the oil, most of the oil out of the diesel. The diesel used to be very oily. And it would, you know, if you spilled it on a surface, you know, nowadays the diesel just evaporates. It's more like gasoline, and it evaporates. Whereas in the old, you know, before that, the diesel, you know, you spilled it, and it just, the oil part did not evaporate. And so you could, you know, so that, I, you know, basically I foot ended up slipping and fell right down. And so I was able to, I didn't hurt myself, but I was able to get right back up. And of course, I looked around to see if anybody saw me fall. And I walked on into the truck stop. And as I recall, I didn't hurt myself. But there's been times where I've kind of start to fall out of the truck and kind of end up skinning my leg, or, you know, that has happened. And so I'm very careful nowadays about climbing in and out of the truck, because that is one of the hazards of this job. Is just, you know, there's a lot of injuries of people, you know, just getting in and out of the truck. And then of course, you know, if somebody's you know, like a flatbed driver, they have a very high injury rate of people falling off of the flatbed, or getting injured while they're like tarping the load, or you know, putting the straps on to secure the load. There's a lot of injuries that kind of happen with that. Or let's say they're tarping the load. I've heard of plenty of cases where they're trying to tarp the load by themselves on a windy day, and they're up on there, and the wind catches the tarp, and off they go from the top of the load onto the ground. You know, those kind of things can be very dangerous. So, so you just, I don't know, just have to try to be aware and try to be careful. But these days, my biggest problem is just slick surfaces. And even if I'm aware of it and I'm kind of paying attention to where I'm walking or what I'm stepping on or how I'm walking, a slick surface, even if you're aware of it, can end up with unpleasant consequences. But I do think I'm going to, part of my problem, the reason I slip so readily, was because I'm wearing these stupid tennis shoes, and I do think that I need to get at least during the winter, I need to get a pair of some sort of work shoes that have a better, you know, that aren't as slick as these tennis shoes. The bottom of these, you know, the rubber, whatever kind of rubber they make these tennis shoes out of, seems to have plenty of friction on normal surfaces, especially concrete or something that's normally, if it's dry, but anything that's wet or really super slick, these tennis shoes can really be, they can be dangerous. And there's, even with the low sulfur diesel fuel, there's been a few times where I've, filling the truck up with fuel, there's been a few times where I've felt my feet slipping on the, just at, around the fuel island. So, I don't know. It's probably not such a great idea for me to be wearing tennis shoes. But, so I need to invest in a some kind of work boots. But I've got to be careful about the boots because different, you know, boots can cause, end up causing feet problems if you get the wrong kind of shoe. Or boots, you know, it needs to fit properly. Tennis shoes generally fit pretty well, but so I just need to, when I go home the next time and I'm due home again on the 25th, I'm going to make a special trip to some sort of a shoe store or someplace that sells work boots and see what they have, or work shoes, see what they have. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. If you want more podcasts, send me feedback. Send me some feedback. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.